Khan Show with Anna DeBlancos right here on 720 WGN. Well, you know, we have Blackhawk Store $100 gift card that, I'd give away right now, couldn't I?
Ooh, that'll make your weekend.
There we go. 19th caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, drifts me off. $100 gift card with the Blackhawk Store, locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, United Center, compliments to the Village of Bedford Park, helping you gear up for the playoffs with new Blackhawk swag. Village of Bedford Park, think about relocating your business for a success. How about that? Woo! All right, now, here's a man who's going to rock and roll all night, starting in a couple of weeks. Mr. Ron Majors, our old friend and our old colleague.
Wait. Put me on hold. Pick it up again when I'm the 19th caller. I want that.
You can't win, Ron.
Yes. That's pretty good right there. $100 gift certificate to the swag. We gave away season tickets for all of next year a couple days ago.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that? Four season tickets for all of next year.
That's amazing.
Crazy, yeah. That's amazing. All right, so we're business partners. We see each other all the time. We talk to each other all the time. And then I have to go on Robert Feeder's column yesterday to find out that you're retiring. What is this all about?
We set the date, and it'll be May 25th, last Wednesday of the month of May. Which actually, what a shocker, coincides with the last day of the May rating book.
Oh, no.
How did that happen?
Wow, what a great coincidence.
Your idea, Ron, or someone else, maybe?
I think someone else picked that day.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my guess. Mm-hmm. Well, and I saw you had a really nice Facebook message, too, where you talked about the importance of the news business and how the news business is changing, right? I mean, it's pretty crazy when you look at the landscape here, and you wonder if the changes in the news business have led to these changes in what the news business covers, like a presidential race.
Now, well, I think the presidential race has become kind of sport, and my greatest concern is we know newspaper readership is declining rather precipitously, and the business plan of most newspapers is dealing with less revenue each year, and they lay off staff. They lay off reporters. Well, the lifeblood of the news business forever has been newspaper reporters. Newspapers always had the largest staff. They could afford to send people who would go to committee meetings, for example, at the city council. They could afford people who would go down and read court filings. They were the folks who did all that stuff that really kind of gave us the basis for what the rest of us do. Yes, all of us do original reporting, but the newspapers were always sort of responsible for the day in, day out, eyes and feet on the street. And with newspaper readership declining, revenue declining, the number of reporters being laid off, I get very concerned for the flow of information, how much information we're getting and where we're getting it. The point I make is I think people too easily confuse cable talking and cable shouting. I'm not talking about cable news. Forget cable news. Cable talking and cable shouting, they confuse that with news, and they start to want to have that kind of anger and passion in what they're seeing, and that's not our job in the news business. It happened, and Ro, you're going to love this. I saw a documentary the other day about a guy named The Amazing Randy. He was a magician who was he sort of put the truth to people who claimed to be psychics or seers. And it was his job to expose them and say they were just doing magic tricks. Well, as I'm watching the documentary, I stopped it in the middle and went, wow, is he talking about those charlatans or is he talking about the news business? This is his quote, and I want you to listen to this. The public doesn't want to believe when they're told straightforward facts. They'd rather believe what some charismatic character tells them than really think about what the truth might be. They'd rather have the romance and the lies. Mm. Isn't that scary? I mean, it's scary for me about the political process, mm-hmm. about the news business. It cuts a whole bunch of different ways, but I was just stunned by his comment.
Oh, my God.
Where do you see it going, then, Ron? I mean, you know, we see so many new news sources and, you know, social media is playing such a role in where people are getting their information these days. As you said, there's a lot of adversarial journalism, from a, journalism from a point of view, I should say, as you see on some of the cable networks. And it,
advocacy journalism.
Advocacy, that's the word. Yeah. Thank you, I was looking for. And it just feels like this splintering cannot be good overall.
No, it's normal for us to feel comfortable about listening to something we agree with. But you don't learn very much that way. The simplest example I've always given about when people talk about, well, you know, the news doesn't tell the whole story or the news slants it, blah, blah, blah. Here's a quick, simple example. Tonight I go on the air and I say, school district X has denied a raise to teachers. Teachers are threatening to strike. The school district proposed a 1.5% pay increase. Teachers want 5%. Could be a strike next week. I'm going to get a call. Somebody from the school board says, look, we're being responsible. We don't have the money. 1.5% is all we have. We're being the responsible ones, and you really didn't make that point. And a teacher calls and says, look, 1.5%, we've had these kind of raises for years. We've fallen behind every year. Teachers are underpaid. We undervalue education. You really didn't make that point. A homeowner calls and says, look, no matter what happens, they're going to get a raise of some kind, and my property taxes are going to go up, and I don't even have any kids in school, and you really didn't make that point. So the story, no matter how simple it seems, comes at us from our own point of view. The most difficult bias in the news business is the bias of the viewer. When you disagree with me, not yet has one of you in the quiet of your home at 10:15 at night turned to whoever was in the room with you and said, wow, look at that, I've been wrong my whole life, and Ron's right.
That doesn't happen.
That just doesn't happen. Yeah.
So, but the problem is, it's the stuff we're uncomfortable with that we stand the most chance to learn from. You don't have to agree with it, but maybe you'll go on to the next step and make an effort to find out more information for yourself. And that's where the internet is good. You can go on there and you can find out more information for yourself. You have to do it. But a really disturbing thing to me is, every time I meet a college professor, I ask them, where do you think your students get their news? And for the last 5 or 8 years, the most common answer is they don't. They think if it's important enough, it'll find them.
Ooh.
That's what social media has done. People have come to think, if I'm engaged in social media, if I'm on, say, Facebook, if I'm doing Twitter, if I'm Instagram or Snapchatting or whatever else I'm doing,
Tinder,
if it's important enough, it'll find me.
Yeah, we see that all the time, and we have these two millennials on the program with us, Kevin and Violetta, and I'm going to tell you something right now. If we didn't say it, they would not know it. I'm just gonna say that.
That's, well, for sure.
That's it. They learn all. They get all their news from working here.
They're like, what? That happened?
Right. If they did, if they didn't work here, they would have no idea what is actually going on.
I'm much more up to date on the news than most of my friends.
Well, it's funny how many people you stop and you talk to. And Ron, one day I'll tell you a story that I can't tell you today about this. But if you turn off your radio, I'll tell everybody else. But you know, it's funny. You know, you talk to people on the street, and you know, if you are at a party or whatever, and you know, you talk about news, and they're like, "Oh yeah, no," especially people that are, you know, under the age of 35, and they're like, "Yeah, I don't know, I don't really engage in it."
Because how often, Ro, those of us who still want to read a daily newspaper and pay attention to what the news is about, I can't tell you how often, just as I'm going through the paper, I stop and learn something that I never would have looked for. Mm-hmm. And it ends up being important in my life.
Right. And that's the interesting thing, because the newspaper, and we've talked about this for years on the radio, Ron, but the newspaper, when you read an actual physical newspaper, there's going to be stuff in the newspaper that are not going to be on the apps or on the website necessarily.
That's right.
And just your eye will, as it sort of dances across the newsprint, will catch something. And it'll pique your interest. I think that's the other thing too, is that we're stemming curiosity. We have replaced the value of knowledge with the value of volume, as in the political process and in the media process and all of that. Which is, you know, the guy who is the and this always was kind of true, But there was a price to pay for it. There was an understanding that you have to eat your vegetables with your steak, right? And now everybody, you know, just wants to eat the steak and they want to have the ice cream and they don't want to even think about the work of having to be curious and try to find, you know, an answer to something. Like you said, if it's important enough, it'll come to, if my friends believe it, I'll believe it. It really is more about the people around them agreeing with them than necessarily your newscaster agreeing with you or your talk show host or your, you know.
I will tell you real quick, the one thing I think I'm going to miss more than anything else when I retire is, and you both know this, newsrooms are smart places. Mm-hmm. You'll run into some smart people and you'll have some really engaging conversations. And even in disagreements, you'll enjoy those moments. I'm going to miss the culture of the newsroom more than anything else. I'm not going to miss going on the air every night.
You're going to miss
The people.
Yeah. You're going to miss standing in the middle of the news and go, what is wrong with you people?
I didn't get me my coffee.
So we start the newscast, and the script from the fourth story is the first story, and the first story is the eighth story. What are you people doing?
Because that's the.
And nobody else is going to miss that.
Yeah, they know it's going to. Right. Exactly.
It's not in your DNA, Ron. I wouldn't believe it.
Picture of a puppy at a shooting scene. I've witnessed that. The thing is that now as you're wrapping this thing up, how many total years on television?
Well, Robert Feeder says 51. He says I started in Eugene in 1965, and he might be right. I always thought I started there in 66, but it's 50 or 51 years in television, and I was in radio before that in high school and college.
Right, because you were, I mean, you start, you, your first job on TV, how old were you? 21.
Oh, my gosh. There's a picture of you with Cronkite that Robert Feeder put out.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Awesome.
I sent that to Robert years ago when he wrote about being, having one of the first Walter, he was the head of one of the first Walter Cronkite fan clubs. And when I read that, I laughed because I knew I had that picture. I was in San Francisco. I think I was 23 years old when that picture was taken. Mm-hmm. How amazing is it that I was 23 years old and anchoring in San Francisco?
Incredible.
And Walter Cronkite came through several times on you know, business trips. And actually, back in the days before I quit drinking, Walter almost killed me.
Those are some stories.
Some stories.
He almost killed you at the bar?
Yeah, he went pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to write a book, Ron? Because I want to read it. I mean, this has got to be a next step for you.
You know, my wife is on me to do that, and I have actually started taking notes. I don't know, you know, I don't know whether you can relate to this or not, Anna, but I don't mind live television at all. They could knock on my door right now and say, go downstairs, there's a breaking story, you're going to be on the air for 5 hours, and I'd love all 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Show me a blank sheet of paper and say you have to write something on it, and it's going to go in a book or an essay or something, and I really don't like that at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
the stories would be great. I would love the stories.
The people have asked that. Jim Johnson, who was just on with us earlier this week, legendary newsman, almost the same sort of, obviously he was always in radio as opposed to television. Oh, he did. He was actually in television. He was on ABC News for a while. He was a weekend news guy for ABC News. He was a guy that said, you know, the people would ask him because he had so many great stories of just personal and professional stories. And said, well, why don't you write a book? Because, so much typing.
He's right.
There's just a lot of typing.
He's right.
Yeah,
I will say the one thing about typing is I always have said to young reporters, writers, producers, when I see they're hung up on a lead or can't get a story started or they're not moving, I always say, don't write, just type. Something will happen.
That's always great advice. That's really, really good advice. And the other piece that I think – you know, as you move forward here, is a question I think a lot of people have, and we're going to let Tom, a caller, do that for us. But Tom has now hung up on Ron. So hold on one second. Let me get Violetta to get the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. We'll get Ron right back on. All right, Ron Majors joins us once again.
Got the right button?
Yeah, I got the right button now. I got all kinds of problems here. I got, You know, it's a funny thing. Today, I mean, Anna has been watching me with stunned amazement today.
I have.
Most days, pal.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I just said everything's a little backwards. My left hand is where my right hand should be or something. I don't know. Something happened. Okay, Tom wants to ask Ron Majors a question, and Ron is retiring after 51 years in television. Yes, go ahead. Tom.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Ron, the first time that I ever met you was out at the Illinois Equine Hospital.
Okay.
And probably one of my investments.
Yes, and my father said that you were a very respectable, a decent man because of how you handled your horses and how respectable that you were to the animals that you invested in and controlled.
Well, thank you, Tom. That is true, and Ro has been a partner through the years in some horses, and we have always made. He'll tell you stories about the great expense we have gone to.
Yes, I can
and
tell
in
you.
In fact, lost money.
Yeah.
So that the horse could have a good life.
Right, and my accountant can tell us all about that too. Yeah, go ahead. But what is your question, though, Tom?
Ron, my question is that how everybody has gone into narrating, and your voice is a very unique voice because of your longevity of the industry and your respect that your voice carries. Are you planning on going into any kind of narrating of anything like Bill Curtis and many other people have done?
No, I don't have any plans to do any of that. I really do want to step away from everything that has to do with this and take a deep breath and then see where I end up. The horse business has become pretty big. I'm breeding. My principal partner and I, Rob Marcocchio, at any given moment have interests in about 36 horses. We try to bring yearlings to the sale every September, and that's our crop every year. And that business is going to keep me busy. And what I could say is two different organizations that have to do with thoroughbreds have already reached out to me to ask if I would become involved with them in something down the road. And I've even said to them, yes, I'm really interested. I'd like to help you. But I need to step away from this and take a deep breath for a minute.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's and I think that it's funny. I don't think we've heard the last of Ron's voice for some reason. I don't know. I have a theory about this. Ron doesn't even know this, but I'm going to tell you right now. I can tell you, Ron, 1 year from right now, he'll be in the horse business, and I'm glad you're going to be in the horse business, and I want to be with you in the horse business for the next very many years ahead of us, because it's a ton of fun to be with Ron in it, and for all the right reasons. Ron is a great storyteller personally. Mm-hmm. He's fun to be with. He understands the racing game. He understands the world. He understands life, and that's all. And those are all intertwined. Those are all part of a tapestry of our life's experience, right? And he will be. He will always be, you know, a part of that. But I'm going to tell you something. I think that when they fire Limbaugh at some point, it's going to be Ron. I think Ron's going
to
be sitting in his house in Palm Beach, in Limbaugh's old house in Palm Beach.
Your brother tweeted out something really kind of sibling sweet about you. I don't know if you saw it, Ron. He said, "Here's the Ron Majors I grew up with." And he shows an old-timey picture of you when you were just a little boy, like 7. "I grew up with a trickster, tormentor, troublemaker. He also entertained and made us laugh."
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's
nice.
Sweet
thing.
That's very nice.
All right, Ron, congratulations on this. And, you know, it's bittersweet. But
it is.
You know, after 51 years, my God, aren't you sick of this crap?
Enjoy your life.
Yeah, all right.
I'm quite happy about this.
Yes, I'll bet. I'll bet. All right, Ron, thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, too.
All right, you can see Ron tonight on the 5 o'clock news on Channel 7 and Channel 10.
He's one of my
Channel
idols.
Channel 10, Channel 7, 5 o'clock news on Channel 7, see, and at 10.
Don't push any more buttons.
What happened? Why are you still there? Yeah. Get out of here.
Kim Gordon. I can't believe you talk to Ron Majors like that.
Kim Gordon has got the W. Well, did you hear the story about how much the sick horse cost us?